Hello there.
This is an incoming transmission from the Outer Rim Beacon.
Everything leading up to this moment has been rehearsal. The real performance is about to begin. I'm counting on it.
Woo! What's up, everybody? You've now tuned in to the Outer Rim Beacon, your frequency for everything in that galaxy far, far away. My name's Justin. I'm one of the hosts. Joining me today, as always, are my co-hosts.
This is Badass Josh Schramm, and oh, you didn't know I'm on vacation. It's C2E2 weekend.
That's true. We are officially headed to C2E2 in the morning. I'm excited to see Josh.
And, I'm already there in my brain.
Yeah, me too.
I'm already there.
I've never been to this con.
You have been to this convention because it's where we met in 2019.
I've been to this convention center, yes. I've been to the building. I've been to the scene of the crime, but I'm excited to go to my first C2E2.
It is not a small convention center either.
No.
It's not.
It is not. So the fact that we came together in that large location, it was clandestine.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
Star-crossed.
Right? And it's April. It's April again, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've just been getting all the notifications recently on my Facebook about celebrations past, various ones.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a bunch. I'm sure you did too, Justin. I just had a bunch recently from our very first celebration popped up.
Anaheim.
Yeah.
Anaheim, baby.
Whatever, 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever, however many years since then. I don't know.
It was 15?
I'm old. Time 2015? Flies. Yeah, something like that.
I mean, we're getting closer to 10 years.
I know, that's insane.
I feel old now.
The cool thing, another interesting bit of trivia is, so I've been going to C2E2 every year without fail since second or third year it happened. And the only time I missed was Star Wars Celebration in Chicago because it was so close to when C2E2 was, I couldn't
justify.
Yeah, it was
just a few weeks apart.
Yeah. But it was in the same place, so.
Well, hopefully you guys get a little better weather than what we had by the end of Celebration in Chicago, because it was definitely snowing.
We got 2 days
in April,
70s, so.
Saturday and Sunday are supposed to be pretty nice.
Wearing shorts.
What is on the agenda for the foods? For the eatings while you are in Chicago.
Well, I think we're trying to hit up Chinatown tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to say something controversial right now. I'm glad I've tried it and I've had it a few times. Deep dish pizza is not that good. So, to me, I don't feel like I really need to have it. Josh and I haven't talked about this, but I wouldn't mind stopping by Portillo's. I think that's
there's a Portillo's right by our hotel, baby.
By where we're staying. Yep. Yeah, so
nice.
We go there.
I'm sure we'll
hit
them up for dinner at least
that
once.
Cake shake. So Portillo's ends up not being dinner, but ends up being late night fourth meal because it's it's open. It's it's one of the only things that's open late, but you can walk in and get food until 1 o'clock.
That place was cool, and it was good. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we went to Portillo's one time when we at Celebration.
That burger place we ate at was really good, too, and I think we ate there more than once.
All I remember is Vic ate chorizo 45 times while we were there. I can't remember. We went to a nice breakfast place.
Vic, if you're listening, lay off the chorizo, buddy.
Yeah, you're sharing a room with me anyway.
Well, good. I'm excited for you guys. You're gonna have a blast.
We'll
I wish
week.
I could be there. I've got some family stuff going on this weekend here, and wish I could be there. But definitely, I hope you guys send me lots of pics of good eatings and some cool, fun pics and autographs and all of those things. So
we're joining Phoenix Squadron this weekend. So
we are getting our photo op with the Rebels crew.
Plus,
So if you're there you go. So if you're in Chicago, if you're in Chicago, look for the guys. They will be roaming around at C2E2.
Will
say hi.
I'm bringing some Outer Rim Beacon stickers and stuff, so I'll give you one if
merch.
You find me.
I think I have a couple coasters, but I don't think I can get them to you in time.
No.
Oh, don't forget your wallet.
Yeah, okay. Fair. Harsh, but fair. All right, I'll remember my wallet.
You know what the comeback to that is?
What?
Keep your pants together.
Yeah, don't rip your pants there, guy.
You know, there's a lot of there's a lot of things you can make it without. Pants are one of them. Wallet, keys, and phone. Those are like the three things that you got to have to survive. The wallet,
Justin's
the keys, and the phone.
Justin's taking his phone before his pants. That's a bold move. Hey,
man, I went with a big rip in my pants.
Actually. What was I going
to
say?
I didn't care at that point. I was like, I was getting to celebration.
No,
it didn't matter.
Because
I was going.
Actually, I can't remember where we were going, but I had to turn back and go get my shoes that I forgot last time too. So that's twice
I was driving to a gig and got halfway there and realized I didn't have my bass.
Oh
yeah.
All, okay. Again, another thing vital to the success of the mission. Pants, I feel like, not successful to the mission.
No. I will
for me anyway. Everybody else might be looking at me weird, but yes. but yes, get a checklist. Don't forget the important things. So well, let's dive into news and notes. There's not a lot this week. I will say this. Hot Toys apparently decided to release 20 different Star Wars figures all at once. And it's been absolute madness. Because it's like, I don't even know what's happening. They released a Darth Revan, Lord Starkiller. They released an original trilogy Stormtrooper with a backlit like Death Star wall display thing. They released BT-1 as a regular figure, right? There's no limit to it. It's a pre-order. You go get him. And then they released 000 as a limited quantity of 2,000 pieces.
I wonder who made that call, which is which.
I don't know either. So I had pre-ordered the BT-1 going, oh, well, and there's pictures of 000 with him. I'm like, he's coming. I was going to get the set. And then they said 000 is limited edition. And you had to jump on the site at like the right time. They put you in a virtual queue. And to be honest, if you're too far over 2,000 or 1,500 or whatever it was, you were screwed. Mm-hmm. You weren't getting it. So, needless to say, didn't get 000, so I canceled BT, and now I don't have either of them.
I'd be interested to know the day the 000 went live, how many of those BT-1 orders got canceled for that exact same reason. People hoping to get the set, and then we're mm-hmm. like, well, if I can't get all three, I'm not going to buy any of them.
Right, and I can't
they
imagine
only
I'm
sell
the only
as
one.
Many BTs as they did 000s, and they learn a lesson from it.
Yep. Now I did see a couple comments on Facebook and in the page of Let Your Geek Side Show that somebody was like, they got the 000. They were fortunate enough to get the 000, but they're hoping that they get Aphra. Hmm. I'm like, how are you going to have 000 with Aphra, but not BT? Like, they go together. It's the three of them. That's right. The thing. And I could even get by with BT and 000, but like, and no Aphra, because I honestly don't know if Hot Toys is going to do that. But the two of them, the two droids, go together. That's like the pair. That's the tandem. That's the duo. That's the Laurel and Hardy. That's the that is what it is. And you can't have one without the other. So I don't know why they made that decision. But
so this is like weird. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different figures you've got listed out here. How close of a window? How narrow of a window was it that the pre-orders for all these are opening up?
Now, they're all open. Revan, and Starkiller.
Like within days of each other, within weeks of each other.
Days.
Wow.
Revan, Starkiller, and one other one opened on the same day. BT, the Stormtrooper, opened the same day, which was like Thursday. And then I think 000, which was the limited release. And here's the other one. Chrome Commander Cody, not Bad Batch Commander Cody, like after he changed his armor, Chrome Commander Cody. Limited release of 2000 was still available on Sideshow two hours after the release.
Really?
And I haven't checked, but I think he might actually still be available on the site. Because everybody's going, well, why do I need a Chrome Commander Cody?
I wonder that makes how no they sense. Decide the timing of these releases. Because, you know, at this price point of at or over $200 per...
Mm-hmm.
To release them all within a few days of each other, how many people are like, well, you know, over the course of a year, maybe I would buy four or five of these figures, but in, you know, 2 weeks, I'm buying one, and now I'm going to pick one of these, you know?
Right.
Just doesn't seem that smart, but what do I know? I'm not a toy manufacturer.
Looking right, got it up here right now. Chrome Commander Cody, still available, now a couple days after release, $260.
That's weird. And you said it's limited to like 2,000 pieces?
Yes, and he's still available because nobody wants a Chrome Commander Cody.
In minutes, yeah, because what's that? Yeah.
Again, if it was Bad Batch Cody after he had like changed his armor and you said that's a limited release, I guarantee you that would have flown off the shelves, but... nobody wants a Chrome Commander Cody because they just did a Chrome Clone Trooper not long ago. So anyway, lots of figures. They're doing their whole Sith characters. So they're featuring like all the Sith characters and releasing a whole bunch of stuff, which is probably why the Revan looks fantastic. So does the Starkiller. Mm-hmm. But then I'm going to guess there's probably another Dooku coming out and maybe a new Maul. But we'll see, because they were all featured in whatever that Hot Toys display was. So,
love a Darth Maul.
Yeah. And then the only other bit of news I had on here was the teaser. Did you guys see the teaser snippet for Tales of the Empire with Grievous?
Oh, was there a second one?
Well, I don't. It just came out today.
No.
It was like a little 30-second clip. Basically, it's the invasion of. It's the droid army basically invading the Night Sisters. And Morgan Elsbeth kind of fighting Grievous essentially one on one. So it's a little 30-second snippet.
I've only seen that first trailer.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So cool to see Grievous again. Formidable opponent in his prime. But all right, well, let's dive into Bad Batch here, because I think we've got an interesting episode to discuss here. This is gonna be fun. I feel like we could get more songs out of this week's episode somewhere. Bad Batch season 3 episode 14 titled Flash Strike, which I basically read to everybody last week to what the title was. They don't hide the titles for this like they did with Obi-Wan or with Mando and Obi-Wan and Ahsoka. Yeah. So we get it picks up right where we left off with last week's episode. Bad Batch attached to the shuttle, sneaking into Mount Tanis, trying to figure out how they're going to basically get off, detach themselves without being seen. Long story short, Hemlock kind of figured out after he gets the news that the Bad Batch broke out Rampart, they snuck aboard a shuttle, and they left that space station the same time that his shuttle left. So he figures they're following them or attached. Quick. Yeah, he figured it out fast and basically dispatched fighters to kind of, hey, go do a visual inspection when the ship arrives. Let's be ready to go. Smart guy. Hemlock is not a fool. And he was ready to go. He was basically ready to go, and he jumped in. And we pick up with action right away as far as what's happening with Bad Batch trying to get to the planet surface and then trying to go save Omega. And then the other half of this was Omega crawling through some tubes, and that was about
it. Lame. Whatever. It was another fucking boring Batch episode. I workshopped that joke earlier and got nothing, but I'm sticking with it. I do not like these last few episodes have just not been that interesting to me.
New episode of Boring Batch.
Yeah.
I think it had more stuff for the plot than the last few have, but it's like, what are we doing this close to the end?
My goodness. This is the second to last episode of the whole series, and it was like, well, okay, here we go. Let's see the last one now, I guess.
And I said this to you guys in our group chat, was that it's very clear they stretched out these last three episodes just to run it up to May 4th.
That's all they did. Why not start it later? Why not, like, it's already one episode shorter than the previous two seasons, so why not just make it eight? If that's all you had, like, make them 8 45-minute episodes. Make, I mean, 10, whatever also, it needed to be, but, like, just...
It's cute, but who gives a shit what day it ends on?
Right.
I could care less what fucking day it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's wrapping up next week, next Wednesday, and then May 4th is what on...
It's the following week when, Saturday. And that's when we're getting the...
Yeah, Saturday, yeah. That's where we're getting Tales of the Empire, so... Yeah, it just, it's clunky. Like, if you'd have stuck this one with next week's episode, nobody would have batted an eye. And even last week's episode, and you stuck three of them together, probably would have been perfectly fine. Like a little mini movie to cap the end of Bad Batch. It would have been great. But
when if you wanted to end right at May the 4th, just premiere it 3 weeks later or 2 weeks later, whatever.
That too.
It's not a big deal. Take a break in the middle for 2 weeks. like they do stuff like that all the time.
Also would have been acceptable.
I don't know. And maybe my expectations were just a little bit too high, but I feel like they were kind of like setting up that we were going to tie into some of this Mando and sequel trilogy stuff. And like, I guess they sort of vaguely did, but now, I mean, not really. Now we're just going to whatever, see what happens. Get these people out or not, and that's it. I just thought it was going to have like kind of bigger implications than it seems like it has. I guess there's one more episode, and we'll see what happens. But I don't know. Just it's been kind of a letdown to me.
Yeah, Josh, any overarching thoughts on Bad Batch so far, or just this episode, just in general?
Well, we kind of already talked about what my nit is. I'm just like, I feel like I wrote Stretch Armstrong because I just feel like they're stretching the story out and it doesn't, the pacing, I feel like we already said there could be less episodes.
Yeah.
But I do want to say, do you guys think that Hemlock is like the most competent Imperial officer of all time?
He's up like, there.
They're
next
usually
to Thrawn?
They're usually like blundering idiots, and this guy was like ahead of the Bad Batch like the entire episode, basically. Knew what they were going to do.
Yeah, he's like the operations guy to Thrawn as like the tactical guy or whatever. He's like running his little scientific research lab. He's got a pretty tight ship going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not a lot of competent Imperial officers, that's for sure. But I would say he is one of them. Like, for him to have that intuition to just go, they're on their way, let's be prepared in a moment's notice, that was pretty good. So, well, yeah, let's, is that what, Josh, you kind of dove into your master observations there.
Just say, since we're talking about Imperial officers, I'm reading that new prequel era book that I can't remember the name of now. It's by John Jackson Miller, they shoehorned in the stupidest thing. Mace Windu is on a ship, and a Republic ship, and there's this like greenhorn.
Is it called the Living Force?
Yeah. There's this like greenhorn, like ensign running, blundering around, like, and you know, Mark made him sound like real, like, oh, you know, and he's ensign Veers. I'm like, oh, and then even like someone says, oh, he's going to be running things one day, or like something like, and I'm like, oh my God, like, give me a break.
Is he a Nepo baby?
It's
his grandpa, like, high
yeah,
up
no,
in
he
the-
is. Because they're like, why are all your people so young? And they're all, it's like, he's like, because they're all like, you know, senators' kids and stuff like that.
I mean, That's not the least believable thing I've ever heard of.
No, I'm just like, oh, out of all the ships in the story, we're just gonna put General Veers in here when he was a kid.
Right.
That's fair.
Right.
But no, like the people making it to the top because they're like, because they know somebody or because they're backstabbers or whatever and not that competent. That part I get.
Yeah. Kyle, what about you? What Jedi Master observations did you have for this week's episode?
I've got a few things. One, we talked about the lack of disguise on the Bad Batch, and finally Echo puts on the Stormtrooper armor. That's like the most classic Star Wars move. They do it all. They did it a million times in Rebels. Han and Luke did it. Finn did it. I guess Finn was a Stormtrooper, but still, like, it's been done a million times. And he finally did it, and even found a hand to put on, which was
That was the best part. Yeah. Yes, and he stole a robot's
right
hand.
Before he got that. I was thinking, like, how good is this disguise? Well, you got that freaking scomp dick coming out of your wrist. Like, I don't.
Like, I think he was balancing the E11 on it to try to hide it. Yeah, like here, maybe nobody notice. Will see.
Yeah, well, like, what? I'm an amputee. Nobody's gonna say anything about it. It's too awkward. Yeah, so whatever. He finally did the disguise.
I love that he stole the hand from the Wish AP5.
Yeah.
Thanks for the hand.
It's like a
Did that also have that like, AP not AP5 droid also have some kind of accent?
Yeah, he sounded like Scottish or something.
Yeah, do they all have weird, like, affectations?
What are you doing back here, you bastard? Yeah.
You hooligan! I got another one. I don't think there's anything else to say about Echo putting on Stormtrooper armor. But so Omega's doing her Shawshank Redemption move, and she's like, you got to cover me. You got to stall them if they come in. And these dummy kids who don't know how to do anything are like, well, what do we do? And she's like, well, in the moment, you'll just know. Like, well, okay, your whole, like, last 3 years of your life has been being trained by soldiers about how to do this shit, and you gave them nothing, but that's fine. But then I will say their attempts at stalling were the worst. They were so pathetic. Like, the one kid was like, I don't feel good. Like, what? She's gonna scan you with the droid. Like,
right.
If you're not gonna stick your finger down your throat and puke on the doctor, like, that's not gonna slow him down. That's not a good
move. You're
not even
trying.
Like, where you could tell her you don't want him to do it. Like run away for a second. Like, they did not do a good job. No. Can I go next? Shut up. Like, what?
Hey. They didn't get good instructions.
They didn't. I know.
No. She was like, cover me. They're like, what do you mean? And she's like, you'll figure it out.
What did the first kid say? She was like, I'm hungry. And she's like, it'll pass.
Yeah, you'll, like, okay, sorry. It's not food time. Whatever.
Wow. Okay, lady.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
I just feel like something, like anything that would have been more time consuming than, like, can I get a snacky? No. All right. Well, okay. That
play dead?
Yeah. Like, you... Yeah, pretend to pass out. Like,
pretend to pass out.
Like,
something.
Anything. Like, be like uncooperative. But like, between the three kids, I'm hungry. I don't feel good. And can I go next? Saved her 8 seconds, at the most. It was.
Hey,
useless.
she made it back.
She did,
in time.
But
evidently,
I don't know if those kids had anything to do with that or not. So
yeah, agreed.
Whatever.
Agreed.
The last thing I noticed was that Wrecker mentioned, like, well, hey, at least we're breaking in this time to Crosshair instead of trying to break out, which apparently is easier. Breaking in to jail is easier than breaking out, which I guess stands to reason now that I've thought about it, because it is quite literally designed to keep people in. And probably doesn't give a lot of thought to people trying to get in, because who would want to do that in the first place? But I just thought it was funny, because that was like an exact plot point In X-Men 90, and I, you know, as if this hasn't been mentioned enough times, I freaking love this show right now, but that was a plot mm-hmm. point in X-Men 97 today too, when Rogue is busting up a government base. I won't give away too much, but they're like, oh, she'll mm-hmm. never be able to get in here, this is a fortress. And she's like, ah, let's talk about it. Daddy always said it's easier to break into jail than it is break out. And I'm like, well, geez, twice in one day from these cartoons, I had no idea. But they did not, in fact, break in yet. Do we think that Wrecker's right and it's going to be easy for them to get in? It seems like they've already run into quite a few problems and they're out in the middle of the jungle still.
Here's my thing. I didn't even have this in my nitpicks, but this is kind of my thing, right? Okay, so these guys like pop the ship off the bottom, right? They're flying around. Not one of them thinks to go, hey, send some kind of transmission to Rex or somebody on the outside to let them know where we're at, some kind of coordinates. And that was the bit one thing. But on the other hand, Hemlock didn't say like jam their comms, which is normally like what they do is they jam like the frequencies, right? When there's incoming ships or when there's trouble so that they can't get any messages out.
Is it possible to like jam or encrypt or whatever a whole airspace, a whole area? Like once you enter this area, you just like
can't maybe communicate.
I don't know, has that ever happened in the Star Wars universe?
Well, the Trade Federation successfully blocked an entire planet from getting communications to Coruscant.
So I wonder if it's such a top secret base. I wonder if like if you're maybe in the airspace, you just can't call out unless you're, you know, they have
good
they
point.
Got a direct line to the Emperor or something. Who knows?
Good point. Good point.
I mean, I'm reaching. I don't know.
It was just surprising that neither of those things happened. Yeah. And I know Echo's getting a lot of intel running around the base in his stormtrooper outfit, just scomping in everywhere with his. His scomp hand.
Dirty.
It's my strong hand.
Yeah.
He's just scomping all these holes.
Just stick it into strange places. Right. But, they gave him a lot. I mean, I guess like you got to have faith in your people and he took it on himself to sneak onto the ship alone. But they were like, yeah, we're disconnecting and crashing and Echo will figure it out. He's like totally by himself on this ship that they are clearly know they're coming already. So like, he's doing way better than the other guys. So I guess I can't say too much.
The only Jedi Master observation I had this week was I would say the beginning, and I know I said this in our group chat, there was a lot of action in the beginning and then nothing in the second half of this. So the second half of this episode got boring. But in the action in the first half that I actually did enjoy seeing was Rampart running around, screaming his head off, afraid.
Yeah, he's a bit of a bitch.
He was like a Jar Jar, like a Jar Jar episode one running around because he's scared of all this stuff because he doesn't go through it all the time. Like he's this nice, cushy officer, right? He's not used to these death-defying things that Bad Batch is doing, and he's running around in the beasts, and he's running around screaming his head off, and he's legitimately scared. And I think that's the one thing that we don't see enough of in Star Wars. It just automatically seems like when faced with an insurmountable task, all of a sudden everybody becomes commando and like they're not afraid of anything and like they can handle it all. And I'm like, it was nice to see just a person scared of something for a change. And you know, it's Rampart, but still, it was nice to see some character differentiation of, yeah, we can do this. Let's go, guys. Yeah, we got this. And like, you don't like, and he's just a normal character, right? Not everybody is Bad Batch. Not everybody is Rex. Not everybody is Echo or Cody or Vader or like these people that can just manage all this stuff and not be afraid of it. So that was kind of nice to see. So, all right, let's dive into your dark side a little bit. Let's go into your nitpicks. Josh, I know we kind of talked about your Stretch Armstrong there a little bit with these episodes.
Can I tell you about, I had a fake out nitpick. I was literally starting to write it down while I was watching. And, you know, they're in the forest and they hear a rustle and Hunter comes out. And I'm like, wait, the tracker hunter guys rustling in the bushes, this is crap.
Making
and
noise.
Then as soon as I started to write it down, it was like Rampart. And I was like, oh, okay, well, there's plausible deniability that it was Rampart.
Yeah, that was pretty funny, though. He said, he's like, what about Rampart or something? And he's like, unfortunately, he made it. And he's like, I can hear you, you know. He's like, I'm right here. And he just keeps reiterating how much he hates clones. That was quite enjoyable. How about Man Bear Pig?
Yeah, that thing was terrifying.
In this episode.
Huge.
That thing was massive. It like reared up and it was like this, and then it went back down. Yeah.
That's one of the spots where they're still not hitting the mark is large animals most of the time. They look wonky like that.
Mm-hmm. Kinda, yeah. Kyle, what about you? Any nitpicks for this episode?
No, he loved it. Next.
No, I thought everything about it was perfect, beat for beat, shot for shot. No notes. So when they are arriving on Tantus here, and they're getting shot down, and they drop the rappel, whatever, ropes, wires, lines, cables, whatever, Rampart, justifiably scared. I probably would have been a little intimidated by that too. And I'm not even like really scared of heights, but I think like just grab onto this rope and jump out of a plane, that's scary your first time. So I will give him that. But so his gets stuck and he's like screaming for Hunter, and Hunter shoots his whatever connection pulley thing and grabs him, and then they both fall because the ship is crashing, and you get this overhead shot and it shows that the ship is like well above the canopy of this forest, and Rampart and Hunter just fall from the ship to the ground 50, 60 feet, 70, 80, like very far, and pop up and run off to go. And I'm like, that potentially would have killed you. Definitely would have left you laying there like moaning and begging for someone to come help you. Like, I just thought it was like, I'm not trying to be the like, oh, that was, you couldn't survive, but like, give me a break, put him a little closer to the ground. Like, you cannot just jump up from that, especially the just regular dude in officer's armor or soft goods, whatever. He's
no armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was like
soft
wild
goods.
Yeah, I couldn't think of like his uniform. Yeah.
Yep.
I also, speaking of that scene, I also thought it was interesting how the guy who's afraid of heights can do that and was like, wee!
Hunter's,
when he was
or
doing.
Yeah, he's not, or Hunter. Wrecker's not scared of heights anymore, I guess. Whatever.
I think when, which by the way, Wrecker just keeps getting destroyed in these episodes. Like, the giant bear thing hit him hard and flew him into the tree. And then what, two episodes before this or three episodes, he survived like basically an explosion right behind him and gets concussed. He's getting pretty much bashed around at this point. But
that's why he got to sit on the ship and play iPhone games last episode.
Yeah. I think his like fight or flight response kicks in when it's fast paced like that. But like in some of those episodes when they're like, hey, we need you to go climb this really, really tall ladder on the outside of a building, he's like, oh man, and he has time to think about it, and that's when he gets his fear of heights. But I don't know. I mean, yes, you're right, Josh. Sometimes it's there and sometimes it's not there. So yeah. Who knows? I know I mentioned it before. My only nitpick this week was the half the episode was literally Omega crawling through a hole where the only I guess concern or potential for disaster was a tube flying by her, or like a red sample flying by her from time to time. But other than that, like, did she really gain anything out of
apparently
crawling
when
through
she
the tube?
Saw the Zillow Beast, that she like developed some plan from that. That's what she told those kids. Like, I don't know if she plans on setting it free to cause like a run amok and cause a distraction or something. That's like what my assumption or what, but I do feel like I think you hated it a little more than I did, but I don't know why they had to show her just like crawling through and the little things shooting by like four times or however they like, whatever. Once we see what's going on in there and she's crawling around, maybe one more time to show us that it's like, she's been in there a really long time, but then like, okay, let's get on with it. I feel like they definitely like hammered it home way too much. Like, okay, we get it. She's doing a John McClane. She's in the the air ducts or whatever. Die Hard. Yeah. Yippee-ki-yay. All right. Go back to and get your blood taken.
Have a drink. Have a few laughs.
Yeah. Come out to the West Coast.
I'm Carl Winslow.
Well, that was a great transition because your Thank the Maker and Josh's was both the Zillow Beast for this week.
I'll give you guys like a peek behind the curtain. We, Josh and I, were typing that into the Google Doc that we use for our notes at the exact same time. He maybe got the O in Zillow in before me, but I definitely got the word Zillow Beast in before him. So I don't know. I guess the jury's out on who actually got it in there. And his still only says Zillow, which like, isn't that what, well, I don't know if he's shopping for a home.
It says Zillow, I got it first, is actually what it says.
So Josh is pricing available properties Zillow in his area, and I noticed that
actually I'm buying that Mount Tantus behind the Mount Tantus. Did you guys notice that there's a second mound in the frame?
No.
What do you think that goes for now, Josh? Is that in your price range?
Yeah, I'm surprised you can afford a mountain year right now.
Well, property values are down out there because, you know.
Oh, okay. Because there's no cell phone signal there.
That yeah, too. There's no cell signal. The jamming.
Of the jamming. Yeah, that's a callback.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, my fan service, Thank the Maker, Zillow Beast. I'm a Clone Wars guy. This is like a thing that goes way, way back to like kind of a standalone little two-part episode. If you don't know, the Zillow Beast is this creature that they thought was extinct, but then they uncovered the last one during the Clone Wars. And Palpatine wanted it. He wanted to clone it and study it and make armor out of it and whatever, because they've got this indestructible scales, right? Scales, hide.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's scales.
And it grows quickly off of even electricity, right?
Yeah. I was getting to that. Even lightsabers couldn't cut through, but like they eat electricity. The ones we saw in this show were pretty small. They're probably young, but they're probably also intentionally keeping them small. Like when they took this thing to Coruscant, it got very angry because they poisoned it. And then it ate a bunch of electricity and it grew to like Godzilla size. So yes, like Justin said, they feed on electricity, and that they can like regenerate and heal themselves from electricity, and they're just super cool. And they killed what was supposedly the very last one in Clone Wars, and then we've never seen him again. I was like super cool to see it pop up. Apparently they cloned that last one, because I'm going to say I'm 90% sure that they killed it at the end. Like that was the whole thing. But yeah, so I thought I'm excited to see that and see how that plays into, the plot of this very last episode of this series. And, I hope just for the Zillow Beast, because they're cool and innocent, that hopefully this one maybe gets to kill a bunch of Imperials and just be the apex predator living on this planet for the rest
of
the
days. Mount Tantus. Yeah. I didn't really have a Thank the Maker for this week, but
yeah, because that was the only cool thing.
I know. I really didn't have one for this week. It was just kind of there. Like there wasn't anything to be super appreciative about. So, I mean, it's new Star Wars content, which I'm always thankful for, even if it's not the greatest Star Wars
content. Boring batch.
Something in there. But yes, Zillow Beast, I Am in Agreement was the coolest thing.
Yeah,
this
the Zilla
week,
Beast
so.
Is cool. Check out the Clone Wars if you haven't, because the Clone Wars is fun.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Josh.
Better or worse than Resistance?
Cool. I didn't even finish Resistance, so I guess better, question mark, because it has Clone Wars characters in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta go with better at this point.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched Resistance though since that first watch, so it's been a couple years since I've watched it. But now that I'm finishing this up and knowing Tales of the Empire is only going to take me what an hour or so to get through on May 4th, maybe I'll go back and watch Resistance and see. But the second half of Resistance, like the second season, was better than the first, but not great. So good question. That is a good question, Josh. All right. I have a question though for you too. How do we think we're going to wrap this up next week with Bad Batch? Because honestly, I don't know what the hell they're going to do in 20 minutes, 20 some minutes. If that episode is 20 minutes, I have no idea on a runtime yet, but if it's a 20 some minute episode, this is not going to be good.
I'm expecting it'll be probably 40 or 45 just because it seems like, I don't know, how could they just do that all in 20 minutes and give any kind of satisfying ending? But, I mean, we'll see in a week. I feel like the good guys have to win. This is Star Wars and it's a kids show and this is the end. Like, they have to get Omega and these clones out. But if they do, then where did they all go? Because we never see them again. So it's kind of a weird catch 22. I can't imagine that they all just die in this last episode, right? We're not going to kill off the whole Bad Batch and the 12-year-old girl that runs around with them or however old she is, you know? But then Omega never pops up again in the rest of Star Wars for 40 years, 50 years. That seems crazy too. So I guess I really don't know.
Josh, any thoughts?
Tarkin rolls up on the planet, orbital bombardment, kills everyone.
Do you think that could possibly happen?
More money for the Death Star. Excuse me, Project Stardust. No, but I feel like we could see some sort of like Messiah ending where everyone dies but Omega. Hmm. Like the whole batch dies to save her.
Yeah,
because like what's the other else are they gonna sell us? Like, oh, we made it. Now we've just gotta go into hiding and live out our days. Like we're gonna watch over this little girl, like four men and a little lady and like be in hiding for 50 years. Like I don't know. Like what else would make sense?
That's the next Star Wars show. It's a sitcom.
Yeah.
Four men and a little lady. Four clones and a little lady.
Because, I mean, I can't imagine there's going to be, like, more Bad Batch content after this. Maybe more Omega content. But, I mean, I don't know.
It's going to be a Omega and AP3. It's a buddy cop comedy. Maybe. I don't know.
I think Omega shows up in the live action universe in the movie or something.
Yeah, she could, and then maybe she could provide, maybe that's how they're going to inform this stuff. You know, she's got some kind of, like, I don't know, she can do exposition on M counts and cloning, and this is why they had Grogu, and this is what they're trying to do with the Snokes in a jar and stuff like that. Who knows?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm hoping it's a longer episode, though. You know what I mean? Like, if it's like 23 minutes or 28 minutes, it's going to be clunky and it's not going to finish well.
Well, because Josh, what happens to the Zillow beasts? You showed them. Now you got to like tell us what happens to them. What happens to this whole project? Like, does it end? Like, do they stop it? Do they freeze some people and it keeps going? Like, what happens to the Bad Batch? What happens to Omega? Like, there's just a lot of stuff. What happens to all these little force-sensitive kids and the the clone doctor whose name I can't think of right now, who Echo talked
Hemlock?
To. Yeah, no.
Or, oh, Emery Carr?
Emery, yeah. What happens to all these people? You know, she probably is going to probably die, maybe. But, sorry.
No, I would agree. I mean, I'm not going to lie, though. If you're right, if Tarkin shows up and just orbital bombards that whole thing and just kills everybody, there, I
just cannot imagine that being the series finale to this show.
No, no, no.
I don't think Dave's got it in him. I mean, look at how many people survived Rebels, and that whole show started off with, like, well, we know these guys are all going to die because we never saw any of them ever again, and they figured that out. So, I mean, what do I know? Yeah. But the epilogue is going to be, they all fought at the Battle of Endor, and they were like, well, whatever. But I don't know. Well, I guess I really have no idea.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Well, let's dive
they were all in the. They were all on the ship with the other clones. They just didn't come out to say hi.
Yeah, they were underneath it the whole time.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into something that's got you excited, non-Star Wars, that's got you excited this week. Who wants to go first here? Anybody? Bueller?
Does anybody have anything? I have some notes written down. Do you guys have something?
I have one, but it's not necessarily like Star Wars related. So this is just a personal thing. My little one turns 4 on April 29th. She is going to get her first set of Ninja Turtles action figures. I'm super stoked about that.
Very nice.
It's basically like a repop of the 80s ones, but the shell on the back like cracks open and all the little extra weapons you can put in there. And I felt that was like prudent for my toddler that she can stick them right back in there, close up the shell, and
because it came with a bunch not of have to worry about losing the weapons. Were hard to keep track of.
Yeah, yeah. I still have all the throwing stars and the little extra weapons for them, but there's no place to put them. Yeah, there's no place to put them. So, and she's played with them before, like my original figures. I broke them out one day, and we sat in on the bedroom floor playing with my old Ninja Turtles. So that was a cool dad moment right there. So not Star Wars related, but super excited for her to get her first set. So
nice.
There you go.
Josh?
Ninja Turtles. The Ninja Turtles in the original live action movies, the heads were part of the Jim Henson Creature Shop. Jim Henson did Sesame Street with Frank Oz. Frank Oz was Yoda. Suck it.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Josh. I mean, I'm sure I could have like put in the work to tie it to.
Well, no, I had a quick one, but it not so quick that it would annoy Kyle. It had a couple twists and turns, but
my connection today is pretty short. I'll go since Josh didn't have a fast answer, or do you have a fast answer? I watched, and this is probably all over everybody's like recommended on Netflix, but I watched the miniseries Baby Reindeer, which is based on like, I guess like a one man show or something like that. It is a true story, and it is about this guy who's trying to make it as a comedian in England and gets a stalker and things like get really wild and out of control. It is interesting. It's crazy. It is not light at all. I mean, like, it's not like a feel good time by any means. There's like heavy stuff going on, but it's wild. It's pretty. I mean, I watched it in like 2 days. I watched the whole miniseries. So I don't know. It's really popular on Netflix right now. It's pretty wild. If you're into any like true crime or stuff like that, check it out. But it was filmed and set in Edinburgh, which I don't really know like the right way to say that. But that is also.
You said it right.
Did I do it right? All right. Yeah. Good job. That is also where the movie Trainspotting is set and filmed, starring Ewan McGregor, a young Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Such a good movie.
Hello there.
Trainspotting? I haven't seen that since I was probably too young to watch it. So I should probably check it out again as an adult, actually.
I watched it. Nice. I watched it again in college when I had like a Ewan McGregor is the greatest actor in the world. Well, actually, no, I was going to say phase, but I still believe that
you started your Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, that's when it started. Yeah. So, yeah. So mine is more anticipatory, but it's I feel like it's of the things I haven't already talked about. It's like I've already talked about everything else I have going on that's different than Star Wars. I was talking to someone at work about audiobooks and how I had tried Lord of the Rings with the new, like the new ones that Andy Serkis did, and they're still too dry for me. And then so this person started talking about Dune, and I said, yeah, I had the same problem with Dune. But there's a new like cast recording audio drama audiobook of Dune on Audible. Mm-hmm. And they recommended that, like highly recommended it, like they've already listened to it twice. And so I gave that I downloaded it, and as soon as I finish this Star Wars book I'm on that I'm not loving anymore, it's kind of boring to me, I'm gonna start that, and I'm excited for it. So
cool. You have read the first Dune. So. You have read the first one already, though.
No, I got like halfway through it and I gave up because I was listening to like a really old audiobook. Yeah. I don't know what it was, but
I think the first one's not bad. The second Dune book got real. It was not interesting to me, and I think that's sort of like a common opinion that the second one's not very good. I didn't get any farther than that.
I watched the first movie on a plane. Mm-hmm. I was telling someone else, I have a hard time, identifying or like feeling empathy for, like extremely beautiful, super skinny people in movies.
Can't relate.
Timothée Chalamet.
Well, I think both, I haven't seen Dune 2 yet. Or is there going to be a Dune 3? Like definitely the first two are both derivative of the both of the first two movies are both derivative of the first book, though.
Right. Yeah.
I think they've been in talks about the third one, but they haven't finalized.
Did they finish the first book in the second movie? That's what I'm not clear on.
I don't know. I haven't seen the second one yet, so.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
I don't know. So, I did watch the second. Have you guys watched the second Rebel Moon yet?
I haven't watched the first Rebel Moon yet.
Okay. Neither have I. Yeah.
Okay.
Who made it?
Yeah. It's Zack Snyder.
I'm not over the movie.
It's it tries so hard to be Star Wars. It does.
Well, it was Star Wars. Remember it was a Star Wars screenplay, but, and then he had to change it or whatever.
Yeah, it was it's rough. The second one is not much better than the first. At least the first laid some foundation. The second one was not much better. So I finished that up the other day, but I didn't know if anybody else had watched that. So
I just don't think I'm like a big fan of most of the stuff he has done. And this is not a popular opinion, but I kind of like the Watchmen movie, but
mm-hmm.
most of his movies are just not that great.
I actually went to a theater on Sunday night. I went and saw Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Oh, that looks pretty good with Henry Cavill, right?
It was actually pretty good. I did enjoy that. So it's very much in the same vein of Inglourious Bastards.
That's exactly
Bastards.
What it made me think of.
Yeah, not quite over the top like Inglourious Bastards was, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. It's basically on Churchill's Black Ops group in World War II and the mission that they ran to basically sabotage the U-boats that were basically dominating at that point in the war. So it was interesting. It was it's got Henry Cavill in it. What is his name? Richman. Is it Adam Richman? He was in Titans. He's a Reacher on Amazon Prime. He's in it too. He's a very, very large human being. Very large. So Alan Richmond.
That's Adam Richmond is man versus
no,
food.
No, not Adam Richmond. Alan Richmond is in it. He's
Alan
a very large Richson. Dude.
Richson,
thank you. Yeah. That's it. Thank you. Yes.
We're
going to get there eventually.
Large mang person, a human being. All right. Anything else to touch on with Bad Batch for this week? Or are you guys ready to wrap this up?
I had something and I lost it.
Other than every time Justin says anything else you want to touch on, I want to say something inappropriate.
Nice.
Something along those lines.
Yeah, something like that.
I hope you like secretions. Take a little sip, sip. Come, please.
All right, well, let's wrap this up and get out of here before we go off.
You're all clear, kid. Now let's blow this thing and go home.
This was episode, I don't even know, whatever, 14, season 3, episode 14 of Bad Batch, Flash Strike. Really hoping next week's episode kind of reins it back in and pulls it all back together and kind of saves what started off as being a pretty good season and then kind of went downhill. So you can follow Outer Rim Beacon anywhere on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can email us, outerrimbeacon@gmail.com. My name is Justin. You can find me on Twitter at IamTheBendu. Where can they find you guys at?
This is Josh, and I don't care if this is the wrong spot for it, but I remembered what I was going to say. I am so stoked that they're making another Planet of the Apes movie, and it's coming out soon. I didn't even know they were going to make That's another one, spot. And I love those movies. They're so good. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at BattleOfTanab. My band is Former Critics at Former Critics on social media.
This is Kyle, and I am KB_legend on all the social medias. Josh, I didn't know you were into apes. I actually thought that movie was coming out like 2 weeks ago, and I was a month early. So, yeah, it's coming out soon.
Yeah, no, I don't have a lot of knowledge about the originals, but this new series, it's one of my favorites. I love it.
Same. I've seen the very first original one, but not the other, like, four sequels to it.
Yep, same.
Nice. All right, everybody. We'll get out there and have a great week.
Justin's favorite is the Marky Mark one.
Jeez, that one was bad. That was so bad. Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't break down in it.
I got your good vibrations.
Justin wants to be the song guy this week.
He does, yeah.
Oh, Lord. All right, everybody. Have a great week. May the Force be with you. And you guys enjoy C2E2.
Will do. Always.
Always. Come say hi if you see us in Chicago.
Can't sing in the outro, Justin. There's already a backing track. It's too much. It's a hat.
Damn
it's
it.
A hat on a hat.
Fail.
I hate this planet.
Bye.